There's nothing like a trip to Florida in December. But for the Broncos, this is no time to relax.
They don't have any problem getting our attention, I can tell you that. I mean, they're extremely talented football team.
With Paxton Lynch making his second career start and just five games remaining, the Broncos face a Jaguars team looking to spoil the fun.
I feel confident myself. I think the guys around me feel confident in me too.
And the defense looks to cure its recent late game woes.
I like our chances, you know, 9 times out of 10 in that situation.
It's the Broncos and Jags from Jacksonville. And the BTV Live pregame show starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for the BTV Live pregame show. I'm Phil Milani alongside Matt Boyer and Andrew Mason, and hopefully you're not too jealous at home because the weather is absolutely perfect here in Jacksonville for a pivotal matchup against the Jaguars. But guys, the Broncos will be without Trevor Siemian today.
Yeah, he injured his foot in overtime last week, sprained left foot, been a walking boot throughout the week. They took the walking boot off on Friday, put it back on. Did travel with the team primarily to receive some rehabilitation from Steve Antonopoulos, who's here, but expected to spend the game in the press box watching with Rick Dennison and the rest of the coaches upstairs. Tough blow for the Broncos being without him today.
It's really a shame because the injury happened in overtime. He said that it just sort of felt funny, woke up the next morning, and it turns out he sprained foot.
Well, you and I saw the play that it happened on. Coach Kubiak said it happened on that sack right before the Broncos kicked that field goal. It didn't look too severe, so that's encouraging. The other thing that's encouraging is the fact that Trevor's got a good sense of humor about things. He, of course, took that photo that everybody's seen with him in the recovery tub, similar to the one that we saw from Peyton in 2013. So great to see him have a great sense of humor about things, and I think he's on his way to recovery.
It was one of his best games of the season, no doubt, coming up last week against the Chiefs. And now the Broncos turn to Paxton Lynch, who appears to be very confident coming into this one.
Yeah, and he wants to build off of what he did earlier this season when he played the first or the second half against Tampa Bay after Trevor Siemian was hurt, and then started against Atlanta. There were some ups and downs, particularly in the Falcons game. Had some trouble with the pass rush that was bearing down on him, particularly from Vic Beasley that day. But there were some positives. Got some momentum going late, and he wants to build off that. And certainly we'll see what kind of game plan the Broncos have with Paxton Lynch, having gotten a firsthand glimpse of what he could do in that game and a half that he had.
Yeah, and one of the things that he says he's been working on is the verbiage, and he feels a lot more comfortable getting in and out of the huddle.
Well, yeah, I think that we heard it from him earlier this week, right? He's mouthing the play calls on the sideline, and that's definitely giving him a greater sense of comfort. When he gets the call in, even though Trevor's out on the field, he's going through his reads, he's going through his progressions, going through the calls, going through everything that a starter normally would. And, you know, I also think this game is going to be special for him because he's playing in his home state of Florida. So it's going to be a great game for him.
Yeah, grew up just about an hour and a half away from here. He had that action against Tampa Bay also in Florida, but let's take a look at some of his stats from his first start against the Atlanta Falcons. He was 23 of 35 for 223 yards, a touchdown, an interception. Mace, he had the 6 sacks. How can he get better there?
Well, he's got to learn when to get out of pressure, when to escape. Now, Atlanta threw some things at him in terms of the pass rush, and we may see similar stuff from Jacksonville today. Gus Bradley, of course, the head coach of the Jaguars, and Dan Quinn, he was a defensive coordinator in Seattle. Dan Quinn followed him as defensive coordinator in Seattle. So what the Falcons did, I think we'll see some similar stuff from the Jaguars today. And it's going to be key for Paxton Lynch to be decisive. 2.5 seconds, I think, is the key, whether he's going to deliver the football or get outside or escape the pocket. I think he needs to make that decision in 2.5 seconds. If he does, he'll avoid having the kind of game in terms of sacks that he took that he had against Atlanta.
It'll be interesting to see how much he's in under center or under shot in shotgun.
Well, yeah, and the thing about that is comfort, right? You want him to be comfort because comfort breeds confidence, and that's a lot of what Paxton talked about this week. He says these experiences at practice over the last couple of days have really helped his confidence going into this Jacksonville game.
I feel confident myself. I think the guys around me feel confident in me too. Starting off the week, you know, getting your first week of practice again after the Atlanta week, getting some reps under your belt felt good. So felt good to close the week out with good practice.
Oh, and And sorry about that, folks. But yeah, I think that Paxton, the fact that he is going to be confident, he is going to be comfortable. We've seen him, you know, in practice take those dropbacks. So even though might not be in shotgun all the time, I think the comfort level that he has with the dropbacks now is going to enable him to do some things that we might not have seen in Atlanta or against Atlanta.
Yeah, and he's being thrown right into the fire. This is a huge matchup for the Broncos. Let's take a look at the AFC West standings as they are right now. Oakland, of course, in first place at 9-2. Kansas City 8-3, Denver 7-4, San Diego in last place there at 5-6. What do you make of this division today, Mace?
Well, it's a tough division. Of course, what those standings don't include is the Miami Dolphins, and they're sitting there at 7-4. And right now, if the playoffs start at this moment, Miami would have the number 6 seed, not Denver, on the basis of a conference record tiebreaker. So certainly, you know, the Broncos are in a bit of a precarious position. When they say it's a must-win game, they mean it, quite frankly, because the Dolphins have a lot of momentum from their 6-game winning streak. And, of course, you see they're a game behind the Chiefs, 2 games behind the Raiders. They're definitely in chase mode right now.
One thing I will say, Mace, is the fact that the Raiders have to play the last 3 remaining division games on the road. That's a huge advantage for a team like the Broncos, who only has 2 remaining divisional games. So I think that the fact that the Raiders do have to go on the road for those 3 remaining games is going to be tough for them to kind of get the momentum that they need going into the playoffs.
They host Buffalo today. That should be a tough game. And also Kansas City is at Atlanta. So that's another big matchup. The Broncos have a chance there to make up some ground. Let's cycle to the AFC playoff standings. As Mace mentioned, Miami is at 7-4 in the 6th spot. The Broncos losing the tiebreaker there for now. What is it going to take for the Broncos to get back in the mix here?
Well, you need to start with a win today, because you've got a Jacksonville team who has lost 6 consecutive games. Nothing like a momentum boost against a team that really doesn't have much going for it at this point. You win this game, you go to Tennessee, another very winnable road matchup, and then you prepare for the Patriots. So this is going to be a 3-game slate where the Broncos probably need to get at least 2 wins to feel confident about where they are in the playoff standings.
A lot of football left to be played, especially when you consider injuries. New England losing Gronk this week for the rest of the season. But no question, Lynch is being thrown into crunch time. Mace had a chance earlier to break down what Lynch brings to this Broncos offense.
When you're looking at Paxton Lynch, a good place to start is with what he can do with his feet. That was one of the reasons the Broncos really liked him heading into the 2016 NFL draft, the ability to extend plays with his feet and do things outside the pocket. Very good example, his first career touchdown pass against Tampa Bay. Very simple, play action bootleg. You've seen it so many times from the Broncos offense over the last 20 years. I think Paxton Lynch may well end up being able to run this play better than any quarterback ever has in the Broncos scheme, which is saying an awful lot. But one reason I like this play here, everyone focuses on Emmanuel Sanders getting the touchdown. Big deal for him, obviously. But watch what happens. The cornerback slips as Emmanuel breaks off his route. So this is an easy decision for Paxton. But let's say the cornerback doesn't slip. Well, he's still in good position to take off and get the touchdown here if he uses his feet, because you have Andy Genevich now. That'll be A.J. Derby or Virgil Green or Juwan Thompson there. But he's able to take out a defender here, and Emmanuel Sanders could come back and make a block on the corner here if he hadn't slipped. And if that happens, then all Paxton Lynch would have to do is run to the pylon and get a touchdown. Either way, it's 6 points. That kind of run-pass option and the freedom to go one way or the other, I think that's going to be key for Paxton Lynch going forward. Let's go to another play against Atlanta 1 week later. This one came back for a penalty, but he just makes the decision to scramble right away. The pocket's collapsing. He gets outside. Unfortunately for the Broncos, it's called back because of a penalty on Michael Schofield. But that's the sort of decisiveness he has to have. Whether it's a quick throw or a quick decision to get out of the pocket and take off, he can make something happen. This is all Paxton Lynch. You know, if you're making a music reference, he's playing jazz out there. It's all improv. He sees the pocket collapsing, takes off, makes a play. You have to focus less on staying in the pocket and waiting for things to get open downfield and just take the play that's there. If Paxton Lynch takes the play that's there and it's a run, he's going to do very well. Another key thing, I think, is going to be to get the ball out quickly. Look at this play against Atlanta. It's on a 3rd down, and Lynch makes a quick throw to Emmanuel Sanders. You can't see it on this replay, but Paxton is throwing the football before Emmanuel makes his break. Very good timing between him and Emmanuel Sanders, And certainly, given what we saw from Sanders last week in terms of Paxton, in terms of Trevor Siemian making plays to him downfield, Paxton has to trust Emmanuel Sanders and has to continue to anticipate his breaks. If he does that, there's going to be opportunities open against the Jaguars defense that has limited big plays but being gashed underneath from time to time, guys.
Live field level at Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville and Mace. Great job there breaking down what Paxton brings to the Broncos offense. We talked about it a little bit before, but do you expect to see him in shotgun or under center?
I think we'll see a little more from him under shotgun than we have certainly from Trevor Siemian the last few weeks. Part of it is because of where his comfort level is. Certainly, he has a lot of shotgun experience from what he did at the University of Memphis under then-head coach Justin Fuente. But I think another key thing is just you look at the Broncos being without Andy Janovich at fullback. So, you know, they can use Juwan Thompson, Virgil Green, and A.J. Derby and others as fullback in a pinch, but it's not something that maybe you want as a primary formation, the I formation, when you don't have Janovich out there. So that probably lends itself more to seeing some more shotgun stuff today.
Being in shotgun will certainly affect the play action possibility, right. But there's no doubt that the offense will need the rest of the team to rally around Lynch today.
I think, like you said, it's going to take an entire offensive unit, including those wide receivers, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. Veteran guys on this offense will help Paxton's confidence get through this game. And we heard from a lot of those players earlier this week as to what will help Paxton make a successful second start here in his home state of Florida.
Paxton's working really hard, you know, and I'm really proud of, you know, how far he's come and how hard he's working. We need to play good around him. That's our job as a football team to help him out. But the kid's really working hard at what he does.
He's growing a lot. I know I see him out there after practice almost every day, getting in extra reps and extra work with, the quarterbacks. And, you know, I think he's going to do good this week.
He's getting more and more comfortable. He's more comfortable with the play calls, getting the call out into the huddle, and then making his reads. So I think we'll be just fine.
For both starts, I think that they've tried to make it more comfortable for me and kind of move the pocket and let me run around a little bit, you know, and also have some of their stuff with the dropbacks and throw it down the field. But, you know, you want to win every game, and when you don't, you're disappointed. So that's behind us, and this week we got Jacksonville, so that's what we're working for.
We started talking about those frontline guys, Emmanuel, Demaryius, but Khalif Raymond and Jordan Taylor are two guys who Paxton has a lot of reps with so far this year because of training camp, because of those second and third line reps. So maybe look for them to kind of provide sort of a security blanket, maybe a little bit of a comfort level for him if they get a chance here in Jacksonville.
Well, comfort will be a big deal today. Paxton Lynch will have to have a great deal of pocket awareness, especially with Dante Fowler Jr. and Malik Jackson on the other side of the line. When we come back here on the BTV Live pregame show, we will take a look at how the former Bronco is doing in Jacksonville. He certainly received a lot of high praise from head coach Gary Kubiak. And now time for this week's trivia question. The Broncos have a losing regular season record against just 8 teams in the NFL. That's including Jacksonville. What is Denver's all-time record against Jacksonville? We'll have the answer when we come back. And if you're watching us here on Periscope, that's going to do it for us. Make sure you head over to DenverBroncos.com to see the rest of the show. We'll be right back.